Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Welcome to hour number three on a Friday. Hour number three on a Friday, and that means only one thing can happen now. We run into this segment we call JP on Sports because JP, who does an amazing job of being our producer and our production manager here at Right Side, he also is a sports guru, like all things sports, like things I've never heard of before. He can lay it right down there where the baby goats can get to it. And he also puts a conservative spin on some of this stuff too. So he also, oh, by the way, has the best sound effect of the entire show, courtesy of a group of sorority girls at Auburn. Play it.
JP on Sports!
It's the best one. All right, first round is called the three and out. Top three stories as you see it in the world of sports. JP, take it away.
Well, the biggest story in the sports world this week has been this massive deal ESPN has made. There's a lot of people excited about it, but there's also some downsides that worry people like myself. However, I'll say the upsides to this are, this is in congruence. They're opening up this new streaming service that will encompass everything ESPN does, essentially. It's a way for people who, you know, are moving away from cable or didn't have a lot of ESPN's services through cable in the first place. They can get everything ESPN and this new service, and it'll only be $30 a month. So they announced that, but then now they have bought NFL Network from the NFL. So now not only will ESPN have all this new, you know, people watching through their streaming service, but now all of the games that ESPN didn't have, the NFL Network had, ESPN now has. So that gives them a lot more access to the NFL. However, there's a lot of people worried because there's one big part of this. I think the greatest invention in cable television history is NFL Red Zone. I think it is the greatest thing ever made.
Are we losing that too to ESPN?
Well, no, we're not losing it. However, I think ESPN may ruin it a little bit because the part of the Red Zone that intrigues so many people is not only that you get access to every NFL game going on, you know, we're jumping from what this game to the next game, that, like, you get every single, you got eyes on all the games on one channel. It's also commercial-free football. You know, the big thing of it is it's 7 hours of commercial-free football. They started to flirt with some commercials last year because they realized how big it's getting. Now that ESPN owns it, can you imagine the amount of commercials that are going to be stuffed in the NFL Red Zone? And people are worried that they're just totally going to butcher NFL Red Zone, and that NFL Red Zone got too big, and now ESPN's going to buy it, and they're going to ruin it. So who knows? You know, hopefully they don't. It's still here for now. But also, there's a part of this. Disney and WWE kind of made a deal here, so now ESPN for the next 5 years will be hosting WWE pay-per-views moving forward. So
is ESPN getting back to its roots more now?
In what way?
Are they gonna get away from allowing some of the commentary they've been having that was so controversial and to start like diving into sports, and they're building this network out for that?
I think they're gonna be woke no matter what, as long as Disney's involved in it. However, I do think this is smart by them because, you know, me personally, I haven't used cable in forever. Like I use YouTube TV, but I watch it to watch my teams. Like, pretty much that's it. So this is a perfect option for ESPN of, you know, moving away from cable, and the amount of people that are going to be pouring into ESPN's streaming platform. If ESPN owns like pretty much the sports streaming altogether, like that's a great move to this new era of streaming, I think, for them. And also they're smart to get Red Zone because, like I said, I mean, it may be the most popular sports channel in the world. So, yeah, we'll see. Hopefully they don't ruin it and make it nothing but commercial football.
And I have a feeling you're going to have a subscription sometime soon.
Yes, more than likely. You'd
right.
be correct.
All right. That's one. What's two?
So there's a story in MLB that I find really interesting that is starting to pick up steam, and a lot of people aren't talking about it as much, but I think it's fascinating and kind of funny, actually. So sign stealing in MLB is starting to become...
it's a science.
Well, it's starting to become mainstream again because everybody remembers the Astros scandal where it was a sign stealing operation, essentially. They had cameras in center field. They were banging trash cans. They had apparently buzzers and vibration stuff tied to chests so that people can, you know, get signals that way. But now, so ever since that happened, we've switched to a comm system to where the pitcher has an earpiece in his ear, and the catcher does too, and the coach is pretty much calling signals in the earpiece, and there's no signs being relayed to steal. However, now we're starting to see players, when they're on second base, looking at the grip of the ball in the pitcher's glove and actively doing hand signals to the batter to what pitch is coming. And It's funny because that's technically not illegal.
No, it's actually smart.
It's technically not illegal, but because it's not illegal, they're not even hiding that they're doing it anymore. Actually, I was at the Braves-Yankees game. I didn't notice it while I was live. I saw it was a big story afterwards of there was a big home run made in the Braves game, and before that, the guy on second was making hand signals to tell him what he was literally looking in the glove, wasn't hiding the fact he was looking in the glove, giving a hand signal, and then the home run was then hit. That was a big pivotal point in the game. And the Braves coach from the dugout was yelling at the guy on third base at that point, you know. And then just this week, we saw another instance of it, of a player stealing signs. The pitcher notices it, intentionally balks so that that runner can move to third. And after the inning, benches cleared because the pitcher went after the runner who on third and, you know, got into accident, the third base coach. Little League, the Little League World Series is going on right now. We had an ejection in the Little League, I think it's the regional part, where the coach got ejected because the players were actively stealing signs from second base, and after they got warned three times, the coach got ejected for it. So we have another sign-stealing
game.
Yes, we have another sign-stealing epidemic right now, apparently. And, like, I mean, when I was in middle school, we were stealing signs. My coach was helping us steal signs. We had a guy in the dugout designated for sign stealing in baseball or in high school. It's just a thing that's part of the game. However, if it's going to become so inflammatory and so blatantly obvious that you're stealing signs, I think something needs to be done. I think it needs to be illegal so that you got to earn it. You got to earn your sign stealing. You got to hide it. Like, it needs to be a skill. Like, and if you get caught, you get caught and you get punished. But the whole blatant, we're going to wave our arms and, you know, blatantly show that we're stealing your grip, you know, what pitch is coming. That stuff needs to stop. But I think it's hilarious because it's always been a part of the game. But I've never seen it so blatantly obvious like it is right now.
Just jumping up and down, yes, at second base.
And we got benches clearing over it and everything. So I think MLB needs to make it illegal and make players earn it again. You know, like the Astros. At least, you know, it was awful, you know, the stupid what they did. But at least they earned it. They hit it. They hit what they were doing. So, I don't know. I'd like to see MLB get out in front of it.
That's hilarious. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. That's two. All right. We're already down to three. What's three?
We have NFL preseason now starting up in full swing. We had first three games last night besides the Hall of Fame game where the Colts lost 16-24 to the Ravens. We also had the Bengals and the Eagles. But we also had the Raiders and the Seahawks. This game actually ended in a tie. But we saw Jalen Milroe get his first passing opportunities in an NFL game where he came in. He didn't start, but he came in, was 6 of 10 for 61 yards. Also, Robbie Oots, who was a tight end at Alabama, came in and got a pass from Milroe. He had one catch for 17 yards in the game. But a lot of people, you know, a lot of people are saying if Milroe can get in an offensive system that can use his athleticism, he's not going to come in and start right away. But I watched the clips personally. I thought Milroe looked a lot more confident passing the ball than he did at Alabama. I think if the coaches can coach him up, get him behind somebody that he can learn, learn the ropes of the NFL, and who knows, we could see some, like, wildcat formations with Milroe and the Seahawks if they could use his legs. A lot of people thought he was the best runner and best athlete in the past NFL draft. So I thought I saw a lot of great things from Milroe last night. Like I said, he probably won't see the field much this year, but moving forward, you know, who knows, the Seahawks can build up his confidence. We could be seeing more Milroe throughout the year. Maybe he'll be an NFL starter one day, who knows.
All right, that's good. And we got a little time for overtime here, so let me ask you, wasn't there a major injury in the Ravens game last night?
There was.
It was awful, wasn't it?
I don't think it was caught on TV. I'm not sure if that game was televised. However, I did see it on Twitter of unfortunately this guy's leg pointing completely sideways on after a pick, which is very unfortunate.
Season ender,
and,
right?
And NFL preseason, yeah, more than likely season ending. I haven't seen anything new on that today. But yeah, it wasn't even televised. Like I said, if that one fan wasn't filming it in the stands, nobody would have really seen it, besides people there, obviously. But yeah, that's very unfortunate.
Very much so. All right, I can't believe we're in football already.
I know.
But you know what? I can't also believe that today that the high is like 82 degrees. It feels awesome outside right now.
Okay, we're in the false fall, though, right now. This is the tease.
Don't get your hopes up.
And then you'll get hit with summer, and then it's fall.
It's faux fall.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. That's the three and out right now. That's round one of JP on Sports. We come back, and we jump into the next phase. It's called the two-minute warning. He gets 2 minutes on different topics. I got a timer and a buzzer. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just pulling pins on truth grenades. That's what we're doing. All right, so we're back for round two of JP on Sports. This section is called the two-minute warning. I've got a timer and a buzzer. First two-minute go.
I guess Vandy has got its swagger back.
Vandy?
Well, I'll say swagger back. It's gotten swagger finally, I guess. I don't know if they've ever had swagger before this. But Diego Pavio, which is the quarterback for Vandy, he's been making the rounds this week because he went on Feinbaum and very confidently said they expect to win a national championship this year at Vandy. And even Paul Feinbaum there at the moment was he was trying to be nice in a nice and subtle way, you know, kind of say, oh, really? You think Vanderbilt's going to win a national championship? But I think that's I don't know if Vandy's going to win a national championship, but clearly Vandy's got some mojo finally. And, you know, they did beat Alabama. Yeah, this is Alabama's fault, and we gave them the mojo because now they think they can beat anybody in the world because, you know, we lost to them in Nashville last year. However, he made a good point in the Feinbaum interview. He says, NIL has evened the playing field in college football. Anybody?
Oh, that's a point.
Any team can have a shot. You know, there's no gimme games anymore in college football. You know, the days of Alabama, you know, could start their second string and just beat Vanderbilt are over. You got to bring your A game, especially in the SEC with every team. So who knows? Maybe.
And there's some rich boosters at Vandy.
Oh, yeah. There's. Listen, if Vandy can go on a run, you know, like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if they can make a run and make the playoffs maybe. And who knows? You know, maybe the playoff becomes like the March Madness of just mayhem and anybody can beat anybody. But I do think it's interesting to see Pavia, somebody in Vanderbilt with some confidence and swagger up there. Who knows? You know, maybe Vanderbilt not being the just the joke of the SEC anymore.
So gone are the days when Vandy is everybody's homecoming game, right?
Yes, exactly. Where everybody said, you know, the SEC is the best conference in college football. Well, then there's Vandy. Sorry, you know, but it looks like Vandy could be a player in the SEC now, and according to Pavia, it'd be a national championship contender. So who knows? But to say the least, like I said, I guess Vanderbilt's not a game anybody can just count as a cupcake anymore.
There you go. You're on it. But I got to ask you real quick, do you think Diego's up for any awards? I mean, he does play well. I mean, the guy's got some.
He's built for that offense. Who knows? He could be a dark horse Heisman candidate. I'm not willing to say he's going to win it yet, but who knows? He may find himself in New York.
What year is he in, by the way?
I think this is his last year, senior
last year.
Year. Yeah.
Okay, all right. I'm sorry, I dragged you along. That's right. Start the timer. Go.
We got the playoffs for golf. The PGA Tour playoffs have started this week, and you know they do their playoffs in a 3-week sequence to where you get points based off where you are in the rankings. So like Scottie Scheffler is going to go into the last round with 10 strokes. Guy below him 9. Guy below him 8. So forth. But the first tournament started this weekend, and there's been a lot of controversy. People are upset because Rory McIlroy decided not to play in this tournament this weekend, and people have thrown their arms up in the air, say this is supposed to be our poster boy. You know, during the Live PGA Wars, Rory was very vocal to staying with PGA and was, you know, like I said, kind of PGA's poster boy. And now he's just kicking his feet up, not playing in the first round of the playoffs. You know, what in the world's going on with that? And he's automatically qualifying for the second round because he's the third best player in the world. I sit back and I say, look, if you're the third best player in the world, you can kind of do whatever you want at this point. You know, if Scottie Scheffler didn't play in the first round, I don't think many people would have been upset about it. But I think it's just the fact that Rory McIlroy, who was kind of a controversial figure in the golf world, PGA world, he just got the career Grand Slam this year. Finally, he won the Masters this year. You know, he'll be there next week. I think golf fans just need to relax a little bit here. But you know, who knows? Maybe. Look, if it's going to hurt him, it's going to hurt him on the golf course. If he comes back next week and took a week off and now he's, you know, got to knock the rust off again, then he's going to be the one that has to pay for it. But I just think everybody needs to relax a little bit. You know,
What was his comment for staying out? But what did he say?
I think it's just rest. I think, I mean, why would you? If you're automatically going to qualify for the next round and you may be a little tired, beaten up. He played a great British Open. He didn't win, but he made a great run for it. So I think, you know, he may just need some rest. You know, who knows? Scottie Scheffler is playing in it, who's currently the number one in the world, but he's quite a bit back in the leaderboard. I believe Tommy Fleetwood is currently at the top of the leaderboard there. So I think it's just rest, but, you know, can you blame him? I mean, he deserves it, I guess.
He's got that green jacket. Yes. All right. Resetting the clock. That's two of them. Two-minute warning starts again. Go.
Well, this is a fun story for if there's any WWE fans out there. So, you know, this is John Cena's last run. This is his retirement tour. We just had SummerSlam last week where John Cena gave up the belt. You know, there's a lot of talk about if John Cena was going to retire as champion, but he looks like he's not going to. He lost the championship match to Cody Rhodes. However, the night did not end with that because big news, Brock Lesnar is officially back in WWE. He made a comeback entrance, and now we're going to have a John Cena versus Brock Lesnar rivalry once again. That was one of my favorite rivalries growing up, was John Cena, Brock Lesnar. First of all, Brock Lesnar, the alpha male of the human species, period, the end. If the aliens came down and had their guy and said, bring me your best, you know, to fight my guy, we're sending Brock Lesnar every day of the week. Brock Lesnar is the alpha male of the human nation. I mean, he's a UFC heavyweight champion, played in the NFL, WWE superstar. He's done it all. But like I said, you know, this retirement tour for John Cena, they've been bringing out all the back, you know, they've been pulling on the heartstrings of the WWE fans like myself who grew up watching John. They had a Randy Orton John Cena rematch of the rivalry brought back this year, CM Punk John Cena rivalry brought back this year, and now we're about to get Brock Lesnar versus John Cena again before he retires and goes off into the sunset. And I just, it's perfect. Triple H is nailing the John Cena's retirement tour. So I'm looking forward to watching. There's also been a lot of people upset because Brock Lesnar is kind of tied up in a little controversy with the WWE. I think he's named in the same lawsuit that Vince McMahon is having. Just guys, come on. You know, we got to have fun with this. Like, be happy the fact Brock Lesnar is back. Like I said, the alpha male of human species is back. You got to appreciate
but
it.
But how old, are they coming in with walkers? I mean, how old are these guys? They've been doing this for a while.
Brock Lesnar is, let me see, he is 48 years old.
Yeah.
John Cena, I think, is about 42, 44, something like that. These guys, man, they're studs. You know, but listen, steroids can take you that far, I guess.
Take it. All right. We got time for one more? What do you think?
We got a little bit of time.
All right. Listen, I'm starting the clock. Just go with it. Take what you can.
Well, I got to address this story. Okay, there's a massive story in the world of WNBA, you know. I won't say what is necessarily getting thrown on the court, but there's objects being thrown on the
sexual
court.
Sexual devices are getting thrown on the court.
Yes, there is. And it is...
And they're green.
I hate to say this, but this may be the biggest story in the WNBA history. I hate to say it. We have betting lines. For this past week, the betting lines for if there was going to be another one of these objects thrown on the court, more people bet on that than the games themselves this past week.
Oh, God.
It is outstanding. I think we've had four total this week. And now, listen, I'm not encouraging anybody to do this, you know, because players can get hurt. However, the WNBA coaches and players that are them acting so upset about the story and that people think it's funny, I think it's just fueling the story even more.
But now they're trying to ban people from bringing bags and everything.
Well, there was a bag ban last night, and somehow somebody still got it in to throw it on the court. So I don't know what's going on, but it's hilarious. Like anybody who's acting like it's not a funny story, is they're just lying to themselves. But I'm not encouraging anybody to do it, but it is funny.
So you got a minute and 10 talking about throwing sex toys on the WNBA court. It's bringing more notoriety to the WNBA, though, than ever.
It is.
all right. That's JP on sports. By the way, brought to you by Inspire Advisors, and I'll tell you more about Inspire Advisors here momentarily. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.